When someone is summoned to or as witness in a Senate hearing, expect him to quake in fear. But a few days ago, it was quite a different scene. After a hearing, senators were seen having selfie with a witness. Well, the witness happened to be Bongo, who is looked upon by many as the president's closest friend. Well, it reveals much of Filipino culture, and that also shows how much it matters who your friends are. There's the saying, tell me your friends and I will tell you who you are, when one of the key questions to determine the character of a person and the quality of the life he lives is ask about his company, ask about the closest people to him. And this is a follow-up to our series last month, the one on Jezebel. And in Jezebel, we saw the danger, the tragedy of a relationship built upon attraction, but an attraction that leads to wickedness. So that is the danger of any company that is built upon wickedness, however attractive that may be. And so we ask, of what sort should we seek as our company? What sort should our friends be? Now, oftentimes, we answer that without saying so, but it is often dictated by what makes us feel good. And feel-good measures are always misdirected because we are sinners at heart, and the heart is deceitful above all things. So to depend upon how we feel good in the company of someone else is almost a sure way and a sure formula for tragedy. Well, fortunately for us, we have God's wisdom to rely upon, and that is revealed in the wisdom literature of the Bible. I am focusing my attention to the book of Proverbs while corroborating them from other parts of the scriptures. But let us remind ourselves, as we did last week, that biblical wisdom is different from absolute promises. An absolute promise is a pledge of God that once a condition is met, His blessing will follow. That is not wisdom literature. Wisdom saying is something that is generally built in providence. It happens normally, but there can be anomalies. So these are not absolute promises, but when we do what the wisdom saying say we do, there normally would be the blessing of the Lord. So if I ask you who consider to be your friends, I'm sure for many that the answer is in terms of who their vibes are. Sino yung kanilang kapareho ng personalidad, kapareho ng mga interest, kapareho ng mga maaring kurso, o kapareho ng maraming mga hinaharap sa buhay, and that is not enough and that is not sufficient for a measure of what makes a good friend, not for the Christian anyway. So we began last week by considering Proverbs 18:24 and corroborating references, and there we saw by way of contrast, some may have many friends but they still come to ruin, but the wise man says there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And there we see that constancy is the commendation of a genuine and edifying friendship. And we need to distinguish between the kind of friendship that is only there during favorable times and the kind of friendship that we should have, which is marked by constancy. I invite you now to another text in Proverbs that should define our friendship, our relationships, Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Proverbs 27 and verse 17, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Or in the New King James Version, and another sharpens the countenance of his friend, which I think is a better translation. Now, in our last text, the way the two lines of the proverb are related is that the first line is in contrast with the second line. There are many parallelism in the Old Testament like that. But here is another kind of parallelism. It is not contrast, but rather the first line is a figure of speech, and the second line explains what that figure of speech means. And this is easy to interpret. It is the contact of an iron tool on another for honing. Kapag hinahasa ang isang kagamitang bakal, ito ay yung hinahasa para mas tumalim, at ito ang pinapakitang larawan dito. Ang isang kaibigan ay parang hasaan, na kapag inihasa ang isang kagamitang bakal, ito ay tatalas, mas magiging kagamit-gamit. Now Solomon sees in that figure something that happens by friendly contact, something of a sharpening. And again, we ask the question as we did last week, what does Solomon know about relationship? Well, he had some. 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 3 tells us he had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines. Well, as I have explained, many of these are marriages by political convenience in order to turn a potential enemy into an ally. After the marriage, perhaps nothing more happened between Solomon and the women that he married. But nonetheless, he had plenty who we can say were relationships to him one way or the other. But still, amidst that plenty, we are given this statement that we would probably skip in 1 Kings 4 and verse 5. Zabud, the son of Nathan, was priest and king's friend. So amidst the many relationships, most of those were political by nature, the writer still singles out someone of whom we know very little, perhaps nothing at all, that he is Solomon's friend. Solomon still needed a friend amidst so many, an abundance of relationships. And Solomon knew by sad experience what relationship can do, of what sort they are. And here is another formula from his mind of wisdom. What should we expect of a good friend? My message is, a choice friend has the impact of character building for usefulness. Ang isang piling kaibigan ay may dating ng paglalago ng katangian para maging kapakipakinabang. A choice friend has the impact of character building for usefulness. You want to test your friend is a good friend in a Christian way? Well, this is the test. Does he sharpen you and sharpen you in such a way that he builds your character so that you become more useful? Now, in the context of ancient warfare, soldiers needed to maintain the sharpness of their sword for battle. It was a time when fighting, battles happened by contact. I mean, today's battles that happen through unmanned drones were unheard of in those days. In those days, if you were to fight, you must fight with sword, and that means you must make sure your sword is ready by keeping it sharp. So honing was an ordinary activity, not just for soldiers, but for house tools such as knives. And that is what a friend should be, Solomon says. His company must have a very serious impact on your character. And as we did in the first message, let us make two contrasting portraits of friendship that we experience. Last message, the contrast was a friend out of favor and the friend who sticks. Well, this time the contrasts are first, a friend just for fun, and second, friend to help growth. A friend to help growth. Which friend do you have? A friend just for fun, kaibigan para sa katuwaan, a friend to help growth, kaibigan na tumutulong sa paglago. So a friend just for fun, there are many. Although not explicitly stated, the thought of seriousness in the text implies its opposite. Fun is not a reliable bond of friendship. Or another way of putting it is that all levity means no gravity. Kung puro gaang, walang timbang. And that's the point. If it is all levity, expect no gravity. Now, let me make myself clear. I believe that humor is a divine gift, giving color to human relationships. I mean, try to be with someone for a whole week without any humor. Try to endure. And that's not what a human company should be. There is a place for humor. God created many things in nature that will make you smile, and some will absolutely make you laugh. Somebody suggested watch a monkey, and you watch that monkey for any hour, and you will certainly laugh. And Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 4, there is a time to laugh. So certainly laughter is not ungodly. Laughter is not sinful. A time to laugh, and then he follows with a time to dance, having a reputation of a dour personality. That is a personality that cannot laugh or cannot make others laugh. Does not make you a winsome case for your faith. Once an elderly woman came to Charles Spurgeon and rebuked him, "Why do you joke so much?" And Spurgeon said, "Madam, you will commend me if you know how much I am restraining." Marami pa akong pinipigil, and ayoko na lang sabihin. Spurgeon was a funny man among his friends, and sometimes they will come out of his messages and they get edited during the transcription. But the point is that there is no argument for a person without fun, without humor in his life. Beware of making too much of friendship, however, that is predominantly bonded by a joker and endless laughter. And one way by which the enemy of our soul tempts us to dodge spiritual profit is to make fun of it. Isang paraan ng kaaway para itago tayo sa pakinabang ng salita ng Diyos na pinag-uusapan natin kaninang umaga ay punuin ka ng mga katatawanan, at kung ikaw ay puno ng katatawanan, hindi mo maseryoso ang mga bagay na dapat ay seryoso at matimbang sa atin. Worst of all is when we make fun of what constitutes sin. Or joking about God's name, making sin fun, is the devil's expertise. Proverbs 10:23, Solomon says, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. Kaya pag ginagawang katatawanan ng isang kasalanan, dapat ang Kristiyano marunong gumawa ng pag-iiba-iba sa mga uri na maari niyang tawanan, ngunit hindi sa mga bagay na seryoso sa harap ng Diyos. When fun and joking sustain a relationship, how can it ever turn serious when occasion calls for it? And I've listened to preachers who built a reputation as comedians, and it is pathetic when they try to turn serious. Now, I have a subscription, monthly subscription to the Reader's Digest, and one of the sections I always go to almost immediately is that section, Laughter is the Best Medicine. And it is quite right in saying that laughter does good to us, but remember, it's just one section. The Reader's Digest is a serious magazine that helps in giving insights into life, into what's happening in the world. So in other words, amidst the seriousness, there are laughters to be cracked, and there is nothing wrong with that. But what is wrong is when a relationship is nothing but fun, and laughter is the oil that makes the machine run, that's where the devil is not far behind. My challenge to you is use the measure of seriousness more than fun for your relationship. Gamitin mong panukat ang pagkaseryoso kaysa katuwaan sa iyong mga magiging kaibigan. A person who makes the impression of being funny and nothing more will have credibility problem. And you know one such person? Lot. When the angels told him to evacuate Sodom because of the judgment coming to the city, and he tried to convince his family, listen to this in Genesis 19:14, Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." Listen to the reaction. But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be joking. At the most serious time, the judgment of God was looming upon the city that will destroy all and leave nothing alive. And Lot, perhaps for the first time, became serious with his family. But when he became serious, the sons-in-law would not take him seriously. Of course, we are not told why, but that is the pathetic outcome of a relationship built upon joking, upon fun, upon humor, and nothing else. A friendship that is forged in fun and levity, nothing serious. When the time to be serious comes, it will not help you. Fun is often employed, as Solomon saw, as a camouflage for the emptiness of the soul. It is like a clown's constant smile because it is painted on his made-up face. Though the person himself is mourning, yet that constant smile painted on the face tells everybody that I'm okay. And that's what fun and humor does to some people. Solomon saw this in Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart may be in ache, and the end of joy may be grief. Kahit pa tumatawa, ang puso ay nasasaktan. Nangyayari iyan. Beware what jokes you laugh at in company, especially you young people, when you are very much in the company of unbelievers. To laugh at sin is arrogance, and to laugh at God can be blasphemy. In Ephesians 5:4, Paul warns, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." The question is, after this exchange, can I give thanks to the Lord? Thank you, Lord, I learned a new joke about God, a new joke about sin. Again, Solomon says, Proverbs 14:9, "Fools make a mock of sin." Ang mga mangmang ay pinagtatawanan ang kasalanan. Alalahanin mo ng mga nakaraang araw sa mga grupo na kung saan nagkaroon ng tawanan, anong pinagtatawanan ninyo? Beware of fun-filled activities while you have serious issues you need to settle with your God. That is the tact of the devil. You hear something serious from the message, and you go home, perhaps feeling the heaviness of your heart. You turn on the TV and something comic comes around, and the serious thing is forgotten, laid aside, perhaps for the next week, but then another TV program gives you the laugh, and nothing serious takes place. Again, Solomon knows. Ecclesiastes 2:1-2, he said, "I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure, enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of pleasure, what use is it?" In other words, amidst a man seeking God, laughter, jokes will never make him arrive at who God is. The point at which a sinner deals with God with his need of grace, the Bible tells us, is a place of mourning. James 4:9-10, "Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you." Whatever place laughter has, whatever place humor has, and I believe they have their place, it is not at the place of being about your sin. It's a place of mourning. It is a place of repentance. If I'm speaking to anyone here who has not yet dealt with God in the serious way you need to, I am telling you that that is a place where you need to mourn over your sin and only see that forgiveness is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And if your relationship with God is serious, do not pretend that a relationship that is just fun is a godly relationship. It makes you feel good, but it is not godly if it is nothing but fun. And here, I want to say something that makes me ashamed. In many conferences where I speak, where I have foreign speakers with me, after sessions, they ask me during lunch, and the question is, why do Filipino audiences laugh at sin? Because they notice this. When they mention sin, the audience laughs. And they're surprised because this is the only country perhaps they've gone to where audiences laugh when they hear sin. I try to explain to them that this is cultural. Filipinos tend to laugh at anything uncomfortable, but it doesn't wash. Sin is not to be laughed at. And sometimes Christians come to me confessing sins, you know, in a Filipino way. And I always tell them, the first step you need to do, stop laughing at your sin. It's not to be laughed at. Hindi pwedeng tawanan ang kasalanan. So any friendship that is built only on humor, whatever place it has, is not a reliable friendship. Instead, we should aspire on the second point, a friend to help growth. Gusto natin ay kaibigan kasama na tumutulong sa ating paglago. The intention of the figure in the text, as I've explained, is making ready a tool for usefulness, whether a knife for slicing or a sword for battle. And that, according to Solomon, is what a friend should do. Prepare, give you the character and the ability to face what you need to face and be useful. So friendship in this sense is a means of grace for the growth of believers in holiness and usefulness. When we ask what are means of grace, we probably immediately answer the Bible when we read it, when we pray, and they are the principal means of grace. But God uses other means, and one of those means is to have a close friend. Some will be called to be without a spouse all their lives. But I believe none of God's people should be friendless. Maaring tawagin ng isang mananampalataya na hindi mag-asawa sa buong buhay niya, ngunit walang mananampalatayang tinawag na mag-isa lang, na wala siyang kaibigan o kalapit. We make a mistake of thinking of the faithful Christian as one who does things by his lonesome. That is not true. Even Paul needed one. He listened to him. He said in 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. And can you imagine, Paul is saying there is an open door, an opportunity for gospel preaching there in Macedonia. But my heart was restless. I needed company. So I left that opportunity so that I can have fellowship with my brother Titus. Is that irresponsibility? No. It's being human. It's being Christian. For the Apostle Paul, at that point, it was not the need for opportunity, the need of the opportunity that calls for his action, but the restlessness of his soul needed company. And so he reports later in 7 verses 5 and 6 of 2 Corinthians, even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. You know, many would have Paul rather saying, God comforted us by my meditation upon scripture or by my very intense time of prayer, we should do those things. But don't leave out the fact that God's comfort comes through close company. Through Titus, Paul is able to overcome his own struggles and to become more useful for gospel opportunities. That is what makes it a choice friendship. Like a sword, his impact for the gospel is made sharper for battle. So when you have such a friend like Titus was to Paul, consider it God's blessing, because it is a means of grace for your maturity. Imagine a piece of iron can smash another iron material. And that's what some do. Or, as it is in the picture of Solomon, it can make contact by way of sharpening. That's what friends should be. I occasionally watch a TV program called Forged in Fire. It is a contest between ironsmiths. They will be given there and then a tool to make, and then they compete with each other. Some see life that way. It's all but competition. Paul sees the forging in fire of iron tool as a picture of friendship, because it is a means of grace. So my challenge to you is be a means for others to grow, and have such means as your chosen friends. Maging kasangkapan ka sa paglago ng iba, at humanap ka ng mga gayong kaibigan na tutulong sa iyong paglago. You must be a Titus to someone to whom you are a comfort when he is downcast, not just for fun. And you must have your Titus from whom you draw comfort when it is your turn to be downcast. And avoid would-be friends whose influence on you is in the direction of sin. That is, they make it fun. When they make sin fun, run away. Flee from such friendship. Again, Solomon gives us that advice in Proverbs 22, 24 and following. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Do not go with a man given to anger. Now, for anger, substitute other sins. Do not go with a man given to gossip. And sometimes the gossip is fun to learn about these things in showbiz and about people's lives which are not intended for public consumption, but it's fun anyway. Do not go with a man who is given after material things, materialism. Do not go with a man who is given to lust and sensual talk. So anyone that makes sin fun is not a friend. Go with that friend who will be an impact on you for building character. Because to choose that friend that will lead you to sin, James warns in James 4:4, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. May kausap ako sa inyo na maaaring nasa punto ka na, na iyong iniisip na tumugon sa Ebanghelyo, maging kabilang kay Jesucristo. Ngunit ang pumipigil sa iyo ay anong sasabihin ng iyong mga kaibigan, anong sasabihin ng barkada. Baka pagtawanan ka, baka laitin ka, at dahilan sa mga kaibigan, hindi ka nagbibigay ng iyong sarili sa Panginoong Jesucristo. Pinipili mo ang iyong kaibigan at tumatanggi kay Jesucristo ang kahinatnan niya ng sabi ng ating binasa ay puot ng Diyos habang natutuwa sa iyo ang iyong mga kaibigan. Is that what's hindering you? It does not mean, and let me make myself clear again, that we are to make no friends of unbelievers. We must. But the most impact on us should be from brethren. This is another reason why the membership of the church is only of the regenerate. Why we make sure anyone who becomes a member has the graces that are the work of the Spirit in his life. The path of holiness is not meant to be traveled in solitude. In the church, there is a striving together. Philippians 1:27, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's what striving for holiness is. Side by side, not in solitude. In solitude, you will maximize your weakness. I appeal to those of you who say you are Christian but remain churchless. You cannot do in solitude what Jesus said cannot be done, what he intended to be done in company, and especially in the company of the church. I appeal to you, church members, make sure that someone can count on you as a friend, and make sure you have friends you can count on. George Whitefield had two close friends. One was Benjamin Franklin, who remained an unbeliever. But they were close friends, and George Whitefield delighted in his company, but was the greater influence than the other way around, although Franklin never became a Christian. The other friend was John Wesley, and though they had a falling out, but nonetheless they remained close friends. And when George Whitefield was near death, he made sure that everybody understood he wanted John Wesley to deliver the funeral sermon, which he did. There's the man who knew how to be a friend of unbelievers and of believers, and who knew the difference. Do you know that difference in your own relationships? Do you have a friend who is able to maximize your usefulness, your character, or is it all fun? Maybe take this seriously, because when you have a relationship with God and you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be on the level of seriousness. While there is humor in the Christian life, the greater preponderance of our dealing with God will be the serious way. Make an impact on someone. There are graces, there are gifts to sharpen, and may it be said of us, like Solomon said, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens that of his friend. And of course, this brings us back to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's dealing with us. As we sang earlier, he lifted me. The Lord Jesus lifts us when we are downcast. And that is how we are to deal with one another. When we are in fellowship as brethren, we also are friends. And there should be that relationship in the church that sharpens each other. And our last hymn reminds us of this: how sweet and heavenly is the sight when those who love the Lord in one another's peace delight, and so fulfill his word. So let our relationship be directed to the fulfilling of the word of God. Close in prayer. Nagpapasalamat kami na mayroong mga pangungusap ng karunungan sa Biblia na maaaring magpatnubay sa amin sa usapin ng pakikipagkaibigan, at nawa Panginoon ay piliin namin ang tamang kaibigan, hindi ang nakabatay lamang sa katuwaan, biruan, tawanan, kundi ang kaibigan na magpapalago ng aming karakter para mas lalo kaming maging kapakipakinabang sa kaharian. So we pray, Lord, that we may watch ourselves, though there is a place for humor, and as your word that does nothing but make us laugh, nothing but fun, nothing but let ourselves and examine ourselves. It may even be the case we are lacking the way the Lord Jesus is the friend of his disciples. He lifts them up from our darkness, from the times that we are downcast, even from the times that we sin. You lift us up, and we pray that we may likewise be to our friends, that we may be such an iron that sharpens iron and that makes our friends grow in character and usefulness as a result of our company. We pray, Lord, for those who perhaps are hindered from coming to you and making a decisive step of discipleship because they are thinking of their friends in the world. Oh, may they be warned that to be the friend of the world is to be an enemy of God, and may they make their choice accordingly. And for those of us who know what it is to be God's friends, make us in this church to be friends of one another in such a way that we help each other and sharpen each other as a tool ready for use, as a sword ready for battle. We ask, Lord, that we may be such a church that display the Lord Jesus Christ to his people. So be with us in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.